Let's get into the Word. You know, our Torah portion is very, you know, another great Torah portion. And something really, really stuck out to me. Something really, really hit me. I felt led to talk about it. And it's right at the beginning. It's the verses that we talked about that I read when we read from the scroll. And, you know, it deals with a very important concept, very misunderstood concept today in today's world, today's culture. And the concept is justice. What is justice? We hear a lot about justice in our society today. We hear a lot about how people want justice. People, and this is true particularly of in countries such as ours, of people that are marginalized, that they feel sometimes they don't get justice. But all people can complain about not getting justice in the world. It's often thought about, justice is often thought about in kind of a legal setting, right? Justice, you see the imagery is kind of like the imagery sometimes with Yom Kippur, right? Is the scales and some type of legal terms. But justice should and can apply to every area of our lives. Not just in the courtroom, right? But in our everyday dealings, in our everyday work, in our everyday lives. The definition of justice, which is a little bit surprising, I think, for people, is righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. That's the definition, the first definition, if you look it up, of justice. What the Lord was trying to do with Israel, what Adonai was trying to do with the children of Israel at this point in the Torah portion, at this point in Israel's history, was he was trying to form a people that operated with justice, that operated with justice in all of their dealings. Israel was to be a just nation. And you know what? We are to be a just nation. We are to be a just community. We are to be just people in every area of our lives. We should walk out justice. We should walk out justice every single day. That's what I want to kind of talk about this morning. So turn with me to Deuteronomy 16. Let's begin. We're going to start at the very first verse in the portion, Shoftim, with this concept of justice, 16:18, Deuteronomy 16:18. You shall appoint judges and officers in all of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. The children of Israel had to learn. It wasn't kind of a maybe thing. It was they had to learn this, and they had to learn it quickly. They were about to go into the land. After all these years of being foreigners, as being slaves, as being people that didn't live freely, they were about to be free people. They were about to have a brand new country, all this land, and they had to govern themselves. Okay? So God wants them to appoint judges and officers throughout Israel, not just in Jerusalem at the capital or what was to become the capital. Or, you know, before that it was at Shiloh, which is where the tabernacle was. Not just in those special places, but everywhere throughout. And I think that's kind of a symbol of the fact that he didn't want just justice in the law courts or in the places that you go and you get dressed up and you act your best. He wanted justice throughout all the towns and villages. He wanted justice in all the families and all the towns. He wanted it throughout. At the end of last week's Torah portion, Moses is giving the people from the Lord, he's giving them all of these commands as far as holidays, covenantal things. When you keep this holiday, do this. This is how you're to act. This is how you're to perform with the holiday. This is how you're to live. But what he does right at the beginning of Shoftim is the Lord just drills it down to a more personal level. You know, we understand moral rightness and justice when we're doing these holidays and coming to service and behaving a certain way. But now God is saying, now when you go home after these holidays, now when you're with your families, now when you're dealing in your everyday lives, I want you to think about justice. These are the things you need to do daily. This shift now to personal conduct. The judges were to be throughout the land. They were to be making decisions, not with the easy stuff, but when there was disagreements, right? They were to be officiating when people couldn't figure it out themselves. They were to use wisdom. They were to use discernment to properly settle matters. Because as we know, even in our little lives, mine and yours, disagreements and stuff happens, and we just don't inherently know how to handle it, okay? So this is the whole concept. Israel was to be a model society, though. It was to be a model society for the rest of the world. So God was starting this experiment of living a just life with this people, and it was supposed to spill out to the entire world, and it should have spilled out to the entire world. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Now, God tells us about himself and about how Israel is to act, and of course, by extension, about how you and I are to act even today. God says it throughout Scripture. One of the places that he explains, in a nutshell, summarizing what he wants, is Leviticus 11, 45. Leviticus 11, 45 says this, "For I am the Lord," all capital, that's the tetragrammaton, that's the unpronounceable word of God, that's the big word, right? "I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." So that's taking it a step farther, right? Okay, we heard all about God. He's this holy God up there, and we know he's just and he's awesome. But wait a minute. We are now supposed to be holy just as he is holy. That's the kind of example we're supposed to have, is him. God is a holy God. He's good, loving, compassionate, slow to anger, long-suffering. But guess what? He's also just. He is also just. He's righteous. He's equitable. He is morally right. God is morally right. Israel was told to imitate that. They were told to imitate God and all that he is. So, and as I said before, one of the reasons was so that they can be an example to the rest of the world. You know, you can either be a good example in your life, or you, guess what? You could be a bad example in your life. And if you're not striving to be a good example in everything that you're doing, by default, you're kind of the bad example. Everybody wants to be in this kind of middle ground. Well, you know, I'm neutral about it. Nobody's neutral. You're either setting a good example in your life, or you're not, right? Or you're setting a bad example. Israel didn't have any neutral ground. They were to set a good example in the world. That was their task. That was what God had commanded for them to be. A holy nation as he is holy, a just nation as he is just. God has always wanted it not to just be centered in Israel, though. As I said, he wanted it to spill out into the entire world. It wasn't enough for just a few million people in the middle of a tiny little country in the Middle East to be a just place. He wanted it all throughout the world, for everyone to be those things. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Go there. Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8. You know, God gives us clues and hints about this throughout Scripture. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, which is right before Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is when he gives the Shema and when he gives, you know, the Ten Commandments happen right in those chapters right there. God says something very interesting here that I think we need to understand to Israel. Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8. "See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me." This is Moses speaking with the Lord's divine presence on him. So he said, "See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear of all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today?" Israel was to be a model for the rest of the world, showing the rest of the world how to be a just nation, showing the rest of the world that these statutes, these laws, these commandments and instructions are for them as well. It's right living for the entire world. God wanted them to be a positive example about that in their lives. And of course, now today, you and I, Jew and Gentile, followers of Messiah Yeshua, we are also called to be an example. You know, we talked about the Leviticus scripture, Leviticus 11, 45, about how Israel was to be holy as God is holy. Well, guess what? That comes in to us in the Brit Chadashah under the new covenant today, Jew and Gentile. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. God wanted this whole thing throughout the whole Bible. He didn't want to just have it back in the Old Testament, so to speak, or back a few thousand years ago. He wants to make it, fast forward it to today's world as well. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. So that's a for now too. It was for thousands of years ago with the children of Israel. It was for 2,000 years ago for Peter and the disciples and the apostles. It's a for now, for today, for you and I. First point in our study today is in everything we do, we're to be holy as God is holy. We're to be just as God is holy. We're to imitate God in everything that we do. That's the first point. Reflect the Lord in all that you do. Don't just reflect the Lord when you get all dressed up today and you come to service or when you're watching us on the live stream, right? Reflect the Lord when you're in the middle of the week and you're tired. Reflect the Lord when it is like, I swear it was like 100 degrees out this week. Did anybody, I went into my car, and you know how your car can register the temperature? I think it said 102 when I got in the car the other day. It's like it's hot here in Florida. And you know what? There's other things going on in our lives. But you know what? We are to reflect the Lord when we feel like it and when we don't. When things are going good and when they're not going good. When we're here at synagogue and when we're home during the week and it just seems like the week is not going well, right? Reflect the Lord in all we do. Are we showing the Lord to people when we interact with them? Now, used to be that you just interact with people when you go to work and when you're at the grocery store. Now, guess what? You and I are interacting with people virtually too, right? Facebook, Instagram, all this other stuff that's out there now, social media. We need to reflect the Lord in every interaction of our lives, and that includes on social media. Sometimes we forget, we're like, we're on social media, nobody could see me, I'm in my PJs doing this text or tweet. Guess what? They can see it, and you should be reflecting the Lord in every part of your life. Because guess what? People are looking at you and I as believers. You know, you don't even have to say a word. People know you're a believer. People are looking at the example you set. Are you going to set a good example in the Lord? Or are we going to set, let's call it a not so good example in the Lord, right? We need to be a godly example. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. There's obviously a lot of scriptures that talk about reflecting God in all that we do, being an example in our speech, in our conduct, in everything. Titus 2, 7 and 8. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Ooh, that's a high bar, right? That's a high standard. Sometimes we get it. Sometimes we fall a little bit short, right? I know I fall a little bit short on that sometimes. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We've got to reflect God in all we do because God is in us as believers, as followers of Yeshua. People know it, even though they may not agree. People still know it, and you know what? They're looking for holes. They're looking for bad examples. They're looking for us to have this cognitive dissonance, talking about God but behaving another way. Let's not reflect that because we are standard bearers. We are light bearers of Yeshua. Matthew 5, 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Doesn't that sound very familiar to the Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse? We are to be an example so that the rest of the world can see that example and give glory to God. We want to be a testimony for other people. We need to reflect the Lord in all we do. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let's go back to the text today. So reflect Adonai, reflect the Lord in all that we do. Deuteronomy 16, 19. Now, we'll go a little step further. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And you shall not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. I think you and I can all, maybe if you think about it for a second, you can think of examples of this in life, right? You can think of examples of people showing favoritism. I mean, it's all over the world, right? Partiality, treating people differently because you like them, treating people differently, not just you, but the world, treating people differently because you're getting something in return, you know, the whole quid pro quo thing. I've seen examples of it. You've seen examples of it. We've all seen situations where the rule, whatever the rule is for whatever was going on, the rule is this. And then you see leaders, people doing this, right? Yikes. You know, you do. We see it. We see the standard here, the rule that's given, and then the bending or even the breaking of the rules when it's convenient. You know, a lot of people do it, not just leaders. We all can have a tendency to do it, but we have to be very careful because we are an example. The Bible is consistent in condemning this type of behavior. Because, why? Because it can do very much damage. It can do damage in our personal lives. It can do damage in our ministries. It can do damage in our work lives and in your families and in relationships. And it ruins the credibility. It ruins the credibility of people, organizations, and ministries. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 5. You know, this is high bar stuff. This is like beyond the whole, like, let's encourage each other in the Lord. This is should be an encouragement today, but it is a tough standard. So we have to say, okay, God, I understand. I'm not always like this. Don't get discouraged by the message today. It's easy for us to get discouraged because we see the bar and we see ourselves. But be encouraged because God is giving you everything you need to reflect Him in all you do, to be a good example, and to work on this. We're going to mess up. We're going to fall short, but we got to work on it. Proverbs 18:5. It's not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. Makes sense, right? The Bible continues, though. It goes even further. So we know it talks a lot about, well, you know, rich people shouldn't show favoritism and all this stuff, but it also goes the other way as well. Turn with me to Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verses 2 and 3. This kind of summarizes a lot of it. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice. Verse 3, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. So we're not to be partial to the rich, and we're not to be partial to the poor. We're just to show justice in everything we do, no matter what, and no matter what. The word that comes to mind here, to me at least, is one little word, and it's integrity. Integrity. Integrity is consistently doing the right thing, even when no one is looking. If you've ever worked for any type of corporate organization, you know they all have these codes of conduct. They all have, well, even we do in our synagogue, you know, we have bylaws and we have, you know, statements of faith and ways that we're supposed to act, right? Ways that we're supposed to act in our lives, in the congregation, and businesses have these too. And I remember I used to work for a very large company, and they had all these standards of conduct, how to handle yourself and how to handle this situation, what to do with disputes, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it was almost too much when I first got to this big organization, right? And the leadership got together, and they had one of these little huddle sessions for like a week. And they came back, and they said, you know what? We're going to simplify things, all of our codes of conduct. I mean, they're still there, but we're going to summarize it. We're going to simplify it. And guess what they did? They summarized it and simplified it all the way down to one word. And guess what that word was? Integrity. It was integrity. I'm not making this up. This is true. This is a multi-thousands of people corporation that I was a part of. And it's true. We should have integrity. It all comes down to integrity. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's go there. Yaakov, James, he says this through the inspiration of the Lord. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? The subheading in my Bible for that particular section of the book of James says, The sin of partiality. The sin of partiality. Point number two is we need to live our lives as believers in every way with integrity. Amen. Integrity. Because that's the easiest and fastest thing to turn people off to the Lord and to totally, totally mess up. I can't think of a better word. Totally mess up your message of what you're trying to do. You share the Lord with people and living your life. The easiest way to foul that up is to not walk with integrity. Do the right thing when people are looking. Do the right thing when people are not looking. Live your lives by a standard. And it's not the standard that we think should be the standard. You know, everybody has a standard of how they think things should go. Live your lives by the, capital T-H-E, standard. Only one standard, which is God's standard. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy 16. One more verse here today. Deuteronomy 16, verse 20. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord is speaking to Israel here, of course, and he's telling them, listen, Israel, you've got to live by this standard when you get into the land. And it's not only to be an example for other people, but there's effects on Israel if they don't live according to this standard, so that they may inherit the land. Guess what? The opposite is true. If you don't live justly, if you don't live with integrity, if you don't reflect the Lord and his standard and be holy as he is holy, guess what? You're not going to, we understand by extension, you're not going to inherit the land. The opposite of inheriting the land is being taken out of the land, right? Guess what? That happened. That happened to our people. We know that both the northern 10 tribes of Israel, when they were divided, and the southern 2 tribes of Judah both went into exile during history. It's in the Bible, it's in history. Why? Because of their sin, including a lack of justice. A lack of justice or righteousness or moral rightness. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. You know, there's a lot of scriptures, primarily in the prophets section of the Bible. You know, the Torah was given in the Torah section of the Bible. And then you have all the prophets, and then you have all the writings. Well, the prophets and the writings are primarily mouthpieces of God, prophets, people with moral rightness, going to Israel and trying to bring Israel back in line into moral rightness. And a lot of times the prophets were successful, but most of the time they were not. You know, they felt very discouraged. They felt like they were going against the grain. They felt like nobody was listening. You know, we've all read those scriptures of people like Elijah and people like, you know, Daniel and all these people that are just, they feel alone because Israel is not being a just nation. Well, the prophet Isaiah talks a lot about that in his prophetic writing. There is a lengthy dialogue in Isaiah chapter 5 about condemnation of Israel for not living correctly before the Lord. A couple of scriptures, Isaiah 5:13. Let's start there. Therefore, my people go into exile for lack of knowledge. Their honored men go hungry, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Now, I don't have time to continue to read, but I'm just going to bring us down now to verses 20 through 23. It's all the same dialogue or discourse that Isaiah is giving. He continues and discusses Israel's sins. And guess what? He then gets to this, Isaiah 5, 20 to 23. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. My goodness, he's like talking about 2021, isn't he? Keep going. Here we go. 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. The exile out of the land is directly connected with sin. And, you know, sin, not following the Lord, not living up to God's standard, and of course, administering or not administering justice. Justice throughout the land. So when Israel practiced justice, they inherited the land. We read that in the Deuteronomy scripture. We read that in Isaiah scriptures. And the opposite we read also. When they did not practice justice, when they did not live according to God's standards of moral rightness, and when they sinned, they were taken out of the land. The Lord refers to the land throughout scripture, the land of Eretz Israel, as a land of blessing, a source of blessing throughout scripture. And that place is a place of connection. It's a place of relationship with God. Be holy as I'm holy. It's a place of fellowship with God. Remember, the tabernacle was that one place when they were in the wilderness with God where God would come down and would meet with man. The one place at that point. Guess what? When they brought the tabernacle into Israel, the tabernacle was then in the land with the people. Then when they built the temple in Jerusalem, the temple was the place. And we know God's Shekhinah, his divine presence, would fill that holy of holies, both in the tabernacle and the temple. Well, God says, be holy as I'm holy. If they're not being holy, they can't be in the presence of God. They have to be taken out of the land. So the land is the source, is the place of blessing. So being in the land means you're practicing blessing, you're practicing justice. And being out of the land means you're not. Point number three today in our message, practicing justice produces blessing. And the opposite, of course. Not practicing justice does not produce blessing. It produces the opposite. The Bible, I believe, calls it curses. So how do we translate that to us today, right? Because we're talking about blessing a lot in the body of Messiah. We're talking about blessing a lot in the world. People have a very, I would say, skewed version of blessing. When you say blessing to somebody, well, you'll have blessing, you'll have this and that if you follow God. Many times people equate blessing, even within the body of Messiah, as materialism, right? They equate blessing with riches, wealth. And that's really not what blessing is. Now, that can be an aspect at times of blessing, but you cannot just say blessing equals wealth. Blessing equals, riches. Blessing equals material things. That is a perversion, really, of what biblical blessing really means. If you are rich, you're blessed. If you're not rich, you're not blessed. You see how you can get into that? I can point you to many poor people that are diehard following God with justice in their lives. And I can point to many rich people that are absolutely not doing it. And you can too. I know you can too. So we have to understand the proper biblical understanding of blessing, because then when the world says, well, no, blessing is this, we can say, no, it's not this. It's not this. It's not that when we do good, we get riches. It's when we do good, we do get blessings, but it's not the material blessings. It's blessing of being with the Lord. It's like I said, when you're in the land, there's connection. There's time with God. There's being in close proximity and relationship to God. The same is true today. The spiritual blessings we can get by being just in our lives are not out here. You're not going to just automatically get rich and all that good stuff. You're going to get rich inside. You're going to have spiritual riches. Many times doing the right thing, living, practicing justice in our lives, guess what? It's not going to be riches for you, but it's also not going to be popular. It's also going to make you sometimes lose friends. It's also going to make you misunderstood in the world. Because remember, the world has a different definition of blessing than you do. But you won't be misunderstood by God. The blessing is the right standing relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The blessing is walking with Adonai in peace. You know, can you imagine? Like, we're just walking with God, like Abraham walked and just talked with God. You and I can have that today. When you are always doing the right thing, you don't have to worry about keeping up with the lies. Amen. When you're always doing the right thing, you don't have to worry about sleeping at night. It's going to be, you'll sleep like a baby, right? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Let's go there. You know, there's some scriptures that talk about this too. Mark 8, 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Disconnect between the blessings being of wealth. You know, you could gain the whole world worth of wealth, and the enemy tried to give it to Yeshua. Remember that when that happened? Yeshua said, I don't want any part of this. I want the Lord. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What does it profit you to get riches or friends or all these things that the world considers blessing if you lose your soul? Because the blessing is not material. The blessing is being with God. Turn with me to Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Now, we have to understand Scripture in context here. Yeshua is talking in Matthew 13 and other places about, he's talking to the people in parables. Parables are stories. Parables are ways of communicating lessons to people in ways that they understand, okay? He's talking in these two, there's two parables here in these three verses. Yeshua is talking in these two parables about this concept called the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, blessing, you know, the whole concept there. And in both of these parables, I want you to understand, he's talking about physical blessing, but he's using it in the parable to explain a spiritual blessing. So we don't want to miss that. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like, it's not is, it's like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, some translations say pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, you could say, well, Rabbi, those are talking about material things. Yes, he's using the imagery of material things to explain spiritual blessing to us. He's using parables because this is stuff that the people could understand, that you and I can even understand today. He wants to use the imagery of physical things to explain the value of spiritual things. And the value of the kingdom of heaven, blessing, true blessing, is a spiritual thing. It's not treasure or pearls or power or money or friends or right standing in the world. True blessing is right standing with our Creator. So the question for us today as we close is, are you and I walking in justice? Now that we know what it is, now that we know how to live out our lives in justice, are we reflecting the Lord to people in every area of our life, even the not so fun ones? Are we living with integrity? Of course, sometimes we don't. We have got to pick ourselves back up and start it again. We should be getting our treasure. We should be getting our worth. We should be getting our validation, not from the world, but from the Lord. Because God wants us to be holy as He is holy. And guess what? God wants you and I to be just as He is just. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You because Your Word says it all. Your Word gives us and lays it out for us. You are a just, you are a righteous, you are a moral, upright God. The world may say that you're this and you're that and twist your words and twist your, you know, character. But the Word, Your instructions tell us differently. You are a God of moral uprightness, of integrity. You are a God of justice. And Lord, You call us to be people of justice, Lord. I pray for encouragement, strength for people as they're walking out their life, because it's not easy. It's not easy when there's unjust all around us. It's not easy when we don't fit in. But Lord, I pray that we would all be lights, just as You are a light, Yeshua. I pray that You would give people the strength, the encouragement, the faith to live lives of justice, because today, in today's world, the distinction is becoming greater and greater and greater between the just and the unjust. May we be counted as just people who will enjoy the blessing of Your presence, the blessing of Your closeness with us in our lives. We all want that, Lord God, and may we all strive for that even this coming week. We thank You, God, and we praise You in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together. You know, as you go out there to the unjust, the land of the unjust, remember the Lord is with you Every valley you go through, his rod and staff are with you, and he will bless you and keep you. Let's just receive this blessing over us today in the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. Yevrechach Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yar Adonai panav alecha v'ichunecha, Yesah Adonai panav alecha v'yasim lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Shar Shalom. Amen and amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Don't forget to stay for some fellowship, for some oneg. And then our tour for today, classes today. God bless you and have a wonderful week.